about preliminaries, I have a lesson I want to share with you on tonight. And I'd like for to go on in with my lesson. If you have your Bibles with you on tonight, meet me at Luke chapter 5. And we're going to begin at verse number 25. Luke chapter is 5. Meet me at verse number 25. That's Matthew, Mark, then Luke. Here again, I ask that you repeat these verses after me. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house. Glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God. And were filled with fear. Saying, we have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth. And saw a publican. Named Levi. Sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans. And of others that sat down with them. But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. For a little while tonight, I would like to speak from the subject, following doctor's orders. Following doctor's orders. Is that all right? Many times, we even in the physical realm of life, we will be ailing or sick or not feeling well, but we will not go to the doctor. Then after some period of time, after we have been talked into going and paying the doctor's office a visit, then when we get to the doctor, he gives us instructions to follow. We have a tendency to say that that doctor don't know what he's talking about. But tonight, I want to talk about a different doctor. I want to talk about a doctor who will amaze all of us who don't know him personally. Y'all got time? First of all, tonight I want to talk about who is this doctor. And then secondly, who are the sick? Then lastly, what are the doctor's orders? First of all, tonight we said we're going to use for a subject following the doctor's orders. But some people don't know what it means to follow. But follow means that you do not take the lead. To follow means to come or to go after. And to accept the guidance or leadership of somebody. This somebody tonight we are talking about is following is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We tonight understand that a doctor is one or somebody or someone who is qualified or who is licensed to give people medical treatment or medical advice. One that can give the proper diagnosis, if you will, and someone that has your best interest in mind. One that can rescue somebody from what is ailing them or what is making them sick. Well, this Dr. Jesus tonight, and who is rather this Dr. Jesus tonight, and what qualifications does he have? Well, Brother Cedric, I have read his resume, and let me tell you tonight, it is quite impressive. Well, first of all, I found out that this doctor, the only begotten, is the only begotten son of the mighty God of heaven. According to his resume, this doctor has never lost a case. He is the one that God has given unto us. He is the one that God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This doctor, y'all gonna help me, this doctor, he is the one that God got up from the grave early on Sunday morning, before the morning dew, even before the cock or the rooster could crow. We know tonight that in Luke chapter 5, that Jesus Christ had healed this man whom had been let down on his bed through the roof with having a disease called palsy. You see, when you look at this text, this man, the Bible says in verse 24 and 25 of Luke 5, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sin, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up your couch and go into thine own house. And the Bible says, and immediately he arose and rose up before them and took upon where he lay, the bed he had, or the couch he had, and departed for his own house, glorifying God. Let me share this with you tonight. There can't nobody lift you up like Jesus can. It don't matter how you got down. Jesus is able to lift you up like nobody else could. I wish there was somebody here tonight that had been down before. That maybe therefore then I could have a little help tonight. Maybe there's somebody who's been down with a physical or a health problem, but Jesus got you up off of your sick bed. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who has been down emotionally confused and distraught, but Jesus brought you around to where you ought to be. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who has been down financially, but God's son, Jesus, has brought you through. When you are down, it does not matter how you got there. Jesus Christ can bring you up. Is that all right? According to Dr. Jesus' resume, this doctor had never, ever lost a case. That all right? You see, he's the one who leads us everywhere that we go. If God can't fix it, nobody can. Y'all ought to say amen. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, and begin at verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This Savior, this Jesus was a doctor of all doctors. This doctor, you see, in John chapter 5 and verse number 9, caused an impotent man whom was laid at the pool in Jerusalem named Bethesda. When he waited for the troubling of the water, someone else would always run ahead of him and get in the pool before he could get there and be healed. So therefore, Dr. Jesus asked the man, would you be made whole. He said, I have nobody to help me. That Jesus was a somebody who had been waiting on all of this time, all of these years that had passed by. There was no need for an angel to come down and to stir up the waters at Bethesda, because a better than trouble of the waters had came to meet this man. Jesus Christ just simply said, take up your bed and walk. Am I right about it? John chapter 11. The Bible says that this doctor was walking down a road one day, and there was a man on the roadside begging, I refer to as blind Bartimaeus. He heard that Jesus Christ was coming by, and he shouted out, Jesus, the son of David. He says, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, what will you have me to do? And Jesus said that the blind man said, I just want to receive my sight. And Dr. Jesus said, go on that way. Your faith has made you whole. This doctor was the one, after coming down from the mountain, that healed a man that had leprosy, that came worshiping him, Matthew 8 and verse 3. This doctor had a friend, you remember, that went by the name of Lazarus, whose sisters had sent for Jesus and told them, your friend Lazarus is sick. Am I right about it? When our Lord got there later, the Bible says Lazarus had been dead for 4 long days. Remember, his sister said, Lord, had thou had been here, our brother had not died. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection. It don't matter how long he has been dead. He said, show me why you have laid him. And he took him to the grave site. And Jesus prayed before God and yelled out Lazarus by name and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said he came out of the grave dressed in dead man's clothes. Yes, sir. And yes, ma'am, Jesus said, loosen and let him go. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Dr. Jesus is well qualified as a doctor. It is tonight because of the wonderful grace that he would call Levi the publican from the receipt of custom to come or become a follower and a disciple of his. And I say marvelous because that he would allow a publican, men of such bad reputation, men that most folk just didn't like. Yeah, but like this publican, he needed Jesus too. Jesus made the call to Levi the publican. He heard the call of Jesus. And according to the scriptures, the Bible says he immediately got up and followed the doctor's orders. He says, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the seat of customs. And he said to him, follow me. He left all the Bibles and he rose up and followed Jesus. He didn't ask Jesus, how long do I need to follow you? He didn't ask Jesus, where are we going? He didn't ask Jesus, when are we coming back? Matter of fact, he didn't have to ask me, how long do I need to follow you? And really, that's a lesson for us, because sometimes we follow Jesus for a while, but we don't follow him long term. But this man, this Levi custom, the publican, didn't ask Jesus anything. He just got up, left his job, and followed Jesus. This publican and those employed in this vocation, whom we are told commonly had little proclivity for religion. They didn't care much about God at all. Yet this publican left his job and he followed Jesus. All right. It is in and through the mighty word of God that there is no heart too hard for God to change. There's no man or woman who is too cold for Jesus to win over. That all right? Neither any difficulties in a sinner's life that Jesus cannot cannot with the power of God repair it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad tonight that Jesus Christ loved me enough and came to me and turned my life around just like he did for Levi. But somebody said, well, him being a doctor, somebody must be sick. Well, who are the sick? Who are the sick? Here's God's wonderful grace in action. That Christ undertakes to be the physician of souls that are sickened by sin. And he's ready and ready to die of this sickness. But Christ Jesus, our Savior tonight, from this disease called sin, is come ready to heal us from this eternal disease. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. An angel of the Lord came and told Joseph, remember back in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, that the child his wife was carrying, or what name he shall be called, and the purpose of his calling. And he told him his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save men from their sins. Jesus Christ has a particular regard for the sick. He wants to heal all those who are sick in their sin. He wants to heal all these patients are here, because there are a whole lot of them here in this world today. He's convinced to wake up sinners that they need for a physician, that he came to call all sinners unto his grace, small and great, to repentance and assure them of forgiveness of their sins. The Bible says in Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to get the prescription that's given by the doctor that can cure us of this disease. Don't say you don't sin or you have not sinned, because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Sin is man's sickness, and Jesus comes with the remedy or the prescription for our illness. The Bible again said in Romans chapter 5 and beginning at verse number 19. He said, For by one man disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, Jesus. Moreover, the law entered, the Bible said, that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, the Bible says grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign to the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We all have sinned. We all have come short of God's glory. We all have not did what was right. But God loved us enough. I'll try to say that God loved us so much that he gave to us his only begotten son that we might be saved from our sins. I'm thankful tonight for the mercy of God. Because if God didn't have any mercy, all then I would have then for then is judgment. Lord knows I don't want judgment. I'd rather have the mercy. It's all right. Because God could have killed all of us out if he so desired. But the love he has for us, giving us opportunity after opportunity to come to him. So therefore, he has sent unto us Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Y'all got time? So let's talk about what are the doctor's orders. Because there seems to be some confusion in this world that what the doctor's orders are. As a matter of fact, there are folk in religion who are like us, who are individuals. The doctor tells us one thing, we have a tendency to go and change the prescription. Am I right about it? The doctor says, take 3 pills a day. We have a tendency to take one. a day and say, they'll last me longer. Well, you know you're not following the doctor's orders. Am I right about it? The doctor says do this 3 times a day or exercise every other day. We said one day is good enough for me. And then we go back to the doctor and complain your diagnosis is wrong and what you told me ain't working. So let's look at the fact. What are the doctor's orders about salvation? All right. Do y'all remember back in 1 Kings chapter 1, chapter 5 rather, I'm beginning at verse number 1. You remember what the Bible said? Now, Naaman, who was captain of the host of the king of Syria, y'all remember that, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but the Bible says he was a leper. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies, and they brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Y'all remember that? And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he will recover him from his leprosy. Don't have time to read the whole story. But the Bible says in verse 9, Naaman was sent to the house of Dr. Elijah. Allow me to make my point. If he would allow me to tell you what Dr. Elijah said. So the Bible says, so Naaman came with horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Now, if you allow me, Elijah is his doctor. He is inside the tent and he is diagnosing the illness. Then he sends out his orders by his nurse. Elijah sent him out unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. These orders are given, and are given with guaranteed results. Have you ever went to the doctor and said, I guarantee you this is going to work? No, you ain't never heard that. He said, you should improve if you follow my instructions. And write about it. But these all are given with guaranteed results. If you do this, you are going to be free and clean of your leprosy. But he's just like many of us today. The orders of Jesus have been given, but we just don't like what the Lord has told us to do in order to be saved. The Bible says, when Naaman got the diagnosis, when he got the orders from Dr. Elijah, the Bible said Naaman was wroth. Naaman was mad with Elijah. I don't know why you were mad with the doctor. After all, Elijah's skin was clean. He the one that had the disease. The Bible said he went away in a rage. Am I right or why? He said, behold, I thought he was sure to come out unto me and stand and call, listen, call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand all over the place and recover the leper, or recover me from my leprosy. He didn't like the orders given by his doctor. He was refusing to follow the orders that Dr. Elijah has given to him. But you know what? He was still a leper. For today, take on and try to tell them what they must do to be saved. They get mad about it and go away in a rage. But you know what? You're still lost. I'm going to show you. I'm coming. See, even today, when it comes to down to our soul salvation, y'all with me? Many write their own prescription to cleanse their sins. They do it, Brother Branch. I'm telling you, they write their own prescription to clean themselves of their sin. Some want to sprinkle their sins away. You can't read that nowhere in the Bible where you can sprinkle your sins away. Some say, come on forth, and we'll pour some water over your head, Tim, And that'll clean you from your sin. That's not a doctor's order. That's something you made up. You aren't following the doctor's order. Then other than I say that more commonly come today, you can pray your sins away. Just pray and call on God. And then it said, now you say. That's the biggest lie ever told. Now add to it before I take it back. Because it just ain't true. They aren't following the doctor's orders. I'm going to show you. Here is Naaman, who is a leper. Skin had the disease all over it. One of the servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Why not do what Dr. Elijah said? Go and wash in the Jordan and be clean. But you see, Naaman wanted to change the prescription. He saw the rivers are banner and far, aren't they better than Jordan? They might have been cleaner, but that was not the doctor's orders. He could have washed all he wanted in those two places. Never would have come clean. And even today, you can do it on the men, their own doctor teaches today, and you'll never be saved. So after this, the Bible said Naaman went to the Jordan. Dip one time, still was a leper. Dip two times, he still was a leper. Dip three times, still was a leper. Fourth time, the fifth time, even the sixth time, he still was a leper. You got to follow the prescription all the way through. You can't stop halfway. You can't believe and hear the word of God, believe in Christ. Repent of your sins and pray and be saved. You got to follow all of the orders. Then the Bible says they went down the seventh time in the Jordan River, and his hands and skin became clean. That's right, because he had followed the doctor's orders. But that was a physical cleaning. Now, what do I have to do to be spiritually cleansed? Y'all got a few more minutes. In Acts chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 36, the Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the same God had made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. And right about it. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, or they were cut to their hearts, or their minds, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, what are the doctor's orders? What shall we do? We want to be saved. We have crucified Christ. We want to be saved. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Am I right about it? Everyone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for the remission of your sins. Am I right about it? The doctor's orders were given. And what they followed is the question. Well, you go on down to verse 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received this word were baptized. And people tell you that baptism is not essential to salvation. If somebody telling you that, they're telling you a lie. Because that's not what the Bible says. You ought to ask them why they're telling you that. That's not truth. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And the Bible says again in verse 41, then they gladly received the word, were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them 3,000 souls. Why? Because they followed the doctor's orders. Y'all got time for one more? Well, then Acts chapter 9. That was one who went by the name of Saul. He was traveling on the road to Damascus. Am I right about it? He was going to bring harm to the church of Christ that was in Damascus. Anybody want to pull on that? You can pull on that later too, if you wish. He's on the way to Damascus to punish or bring back in chains, or bonds, to persecute members of the Church of Christ. The Bible says, but he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard to kick against the pricks. Here Saul meets Dr. Jesus while on his way to Damascus. He asked the doctor a question in verse 6. And trembling and astonished, Saul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Dr. Jesus, what are your orders? We find Paul, or Saul rather, in the 9th chapter, fasting and praying in Damascus. These were not the doctor's orders. He didn't tell him to go to Damascus and fast and pray. He told, when you get to Damascus, it shall be told thee what thou must do. Because, see, even then, Saul wasn't following his orders, and that was not going to save him. Y'all still with me? Saul had to follow the orders that Ananias was going to give to him. If fasting or if praying would have saved Saul, he'd have been saved before Ananias got there. Because today they said, you can pray your sins away. Saul had been praying for 3 days and 3 nights. He was still a sinner. He was still a sinner. He prayed longer than folks say you ought to pray today. He still was a sinner. So praying and fasting won't save you. It's obedience to the doctor's order. You got to go and hear what you must do in order to be saved. And Ananias came in and saw and said, why tarriest thou? Get up, arise, and be baptized, and wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. We got it backwards today. We want to call on the name of the Lord. Then we say, that's backwards. You get baptized first. Then you can call on Jesus. He followed the doctor's order. His sins were washed away. If anybody could have been saved, it would have been Saul by praying his sins away. Now, somebody no doubt had that question in their mind. They're no doubt saying, now, wait a minute. How do you know that Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church of Christ? I know it's true. If you back up in the scripture, he says, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? He said, thou me, because me is married to the church. Y'all missed it then. Because me is married to the church, Ephesians chapter 5. See, so therefore, when he was persecuting the church, he was persecuting Jesus. And Saul said, what will you have me to do then? How can I fix it? How can I change my life around? Going into Damascus. It's going to be told to you what you must do. They had to lead him in because he was blind. But the bright light that shined from heaven. And he went in and started doing not just what Jesus told him not to do. He said, go in there, they're going to tell you what you do. He went in and prayed and fasted. And I've been to the places, to the situation where people said, it doesn't matter, want to be saved today, just stand on your feet. Quote the sinner's prayer. Where did you see a sinner's prayer in the Bible? You can't find that nowhere. I'm like Brother Turner said a long time ago, you show me that, I eat it page by page, I won't take any salt or pepper with it. But you can't find that. You got to find the truth that will save you from your sins. Dr. Jesus said, you need to hear the word of God. Once you've heard how Jesus came from heaven, being God's son, but buried on Friday evening, rose on Sunday morning, with all power in heaven and earth. Once you hear that, you got to believe what you have heard. And once you have believed that, then you got to repent of your sin. Stop being a devil and turn to be a saint. You got to stop doing wrong. You got to start to do that which is right. Then you got to confess the sweetest name ever uttered upon a mortal tongue. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? If you answer that in the affirmative, you'll be asked the next question. Are you willing today, tonight, be baptized, have your sins washed away?
You ask that question. You ain't got to wait to baptism Sunday. You don't have to wait to baptism Sunday. You can baptize tonight and go on your way home rejoicing. Because you remember Philip was talking and was teaching the eunuch? He said, see, here's water. What did it hinder me for being baptized? He said, if thou believe, thou may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible said, and they both, that's why I know you can't get in the pitcher of water. And they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch, and he went on his way rejoicing. You have to wait to baptism. I baptized a young man not long ago, and he went home and told his mom, I got baptized in the Church of Christ today. She said, the same day? I ain't never heard of such a thing. How in the world you got baptized the same day? If you go to the book of conversion, the book of Acts, everyone who obeyed the gospel was baptized the same day. If you die in your sin, you can't go to heaven. You got to be baptized first. You can't wait to baptism Sunday. Somebody might come in McDonald's and kill you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You got to be baptized today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to us. All we have is right now. Sunday be too late. Maybe too late for you. I remember those three boys. No, and they're not that right English. Somebody's going to say, us is the wrong way to say it, but us understand too. Those three boys and my mother lived next to a corner. And they put up a tent next door. Some of y'all know about tent meeting, but they were tent meeting. We went over there and went through tent meeting, and next thing I know, brother said they were building a building. And mother, every Sunday morning, mother gets up early, go down to Little Zion AME Church. I know AME men, I just went on. And we were there every Sunday morning for Sunday school. The preacher didn't come but once a month. And one day we were leaving out of the driveway or coming in from Sunday school. My mother said, what's different about them folks? They have worship every Sunday. What's different from them and us? She said, we're going to go see. Why they have worship every Sunday? Went over to see, and the preacher invited us into Bible study. We were having Bible study about 2 weeks. He came that Monday night as he talked to us and my mother. When he left, we said, we're going to get baptized Sunday. We're going to get baptized Sunday. On Tuesday, but Jane, we talked about it again. And we talked about it. My mother and I were talking about it. She said, you know what? In the Church of Christ, you ain't got to wait this Sunday. We can go before Sunday. So when the Bible class on a Wednesday night, he baptized all four. Why? Because the Bible says when you believe it, you can be baptized. There's no such thing as a baptism Sunday. Even though your mind might be in the right place, and you might want to be saved, but if you die before you're baptized, lost you're going to be. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What about you tonight? What have you been taught? What have you been taught? Have you been taught that baptism is not essential to salvation? You've been taught wrong. You need to obey the gospel of Christ by being baptized in the Christ. Follow the doctrine or if you want to be saved. Now, you don't want to get away, do what you do. Do what you're doing. Because I believe I'm going to be all right on the day of judgment. Well, let's see. Let's see, because it's going to be too late then to change your mind. Because the Bible says we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If you aren't already ready to go to heaven and live your life according to the teaching of the Bible, it's going to be too late. I got more stories here, but I'm going to keep them. Don't you want to go to heaven? I do. It's bad enough down here. Can you imagine what hell is going to be like? If you think you don't like it here, it's going to sure enough be bad in hell. Because everybody dying in hell is going to be a devil. You can't, well, I'm going to sit with the folk who ain't no prison in hell. Everybody down there. That's the devil. And I mean, if you down there with them, that means what? You one too. Well, don't you want to go to heaven? I know I want to go. I want to go real bad. You have heard the truth tonight. Will you obey? Because you can't give before God if he will allow you to tell. And so, Lord, I just didn't know. Because do you remember July the 11th, about 7 to 8 o'clock, when you heard the gospel preached and you didn't obey? If you were allowed to talk. You said, yeah, I heard that. Why didn't you obey that thing? I don't know. I just, you know, my mama was a Baptist. My dad was a Methodist. I just stayed within. Why? No salvation in there. Now, you want to pull on that, you can pull on that. I'm not going away until Thursday morning. And I'd be glad to talk with you about it. But don't you want to go to heaven? Because Christ didn't build but one church. Jesus, upon this rock, I shall build my church. John the Baptist never built a church. John the Baptist was dead and gone before the church was ever established. But don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you know the truth will set you free? And you go home with joy? But it's my prayer tonight that once you leave here, you're not a member of the body of Christ, that you don't sleep a wink tonight. You don't sleep a wink tonight. You'll sit around and get a Bible trying to prove me to be wrong. And don't sleep at all. And then I hope you're worried so much you can't, your eyes just be red and swollen in the morning. Because I want you to go to hell. I want you to understand that Jesus died for you and he died for me. But if we don't follow his orders, heaven will never be our home. So if you are here tonight, you've heard the word, do you believe? Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You will be baptized in water. Have your sins washed away. When you come out of that water, you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And if you are here tonight, you're a member of the blood-bought church. But you have not lived according to the teaching. The devil has called you to get out of your pathway. You want to get it back right tonight. Y'all recommit yourself to him through repentance and through confession, asking for the prayers of the righteous. James 5, verse 16. So if you're here tonight in either condition, it is my prayer that you come right now. It will stand and sing the psalm and give them for the invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.